not norm to have Christmas Eve on the Lord's Day, so we are glad that you're here. Many are obviously traveling to be with their families. In fact, if my research is correct, you've got to go back to 2006 in order to find this occasion of Christmas Eve on the Lord's Day or Sunday. So with one day remaining, I pray that you have a very blessed and merry Christmas tomorrow morning. Get everything that you ask for. Well, we just finished singing this beautiful song, and with it, the title and the question that is on your bulletin is, what child is this? And I think that's an appropriate question that we should ask. Now, surely if you have, like many of us, grown up in the Christian faith, you already know the answer to the question. Duh, Ron. Psalm is about Jesus. Yes, but if this whole Christianity thing is somewhat foreign to you, then maybe it is a very legitimate question. What's the big deal with a child that was born in a manger over 2,000 years ago? Well, why all the songs? Why all the carols? Why all the hoopla that we have at this time of the year? Did you know that today alone, it's estimated by the United Nations, UNICEF, that there will be over 353,000 babies born. Now, some estimates are higher, up into the 360,000. And that means that there is, at 353,000 births on a typical day, there are 255 births happening every minute, 4.3 every second. And a lot of babies born since I started a few minutes ago. I have no idea how many babies were born 2 years ago. But I'm sure it was a lot, because they still estimate that at the time in which Jesus was born, the population of the world was about 300 million people. And about 45 million of those people lived in the Roman Empire where Jesus was. Now, the United States population is a little bit greater than that. But we still have a baby here in the United States born every 8 seconds. So I'm sure there were a lot of babies being born in the world at the time in which Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. So what makes this child so special? Why do we celebrate at what we call Christmas time so much about the birth of a little baby? I mean, there have been 130 billion babies born into the world in the last, 130 million babies born every year in the world. There have been billions born over the last 2,000 years. So what's the big deal about this one we sing about today? Why do people make such a fuss about a little baby boy that was born to maybe a 14-year-old girl in the Middle East, in what we might call a barn? The question is a legitimate question. What child is this? First, I want you to know that this child is God with us. And in order to get you to understand that this child is God with us, I need to take you back about 700 years before the birth of this little boy. If you've been studying with us on Lord's Day Eve, we've been going through the kings that we find in the Old Testament. And we have learned that about 930 years before the birth of this little boy, there was a divided kingdom in the Middle East. There was a northern kingdom, which is called Israel. And there was a southern kingdom, which was called Judah. And each of those kingdoms over a number of centuries had lots of kings. Some of them were good. Unfortunately, a lot of them were bad. And the capital of the southern kingdom, the kingdom we call Judah, was Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That same city that's in the news this week that President Trump wants to move our United States embassy back to, because it has always been the capital of the Jewish people. Well, around 700 years before Jesus was born, Jerusalem was about to be attacked by its own brothers and sisters from the northern kingdom. Let me pause you in the story and give you some names. If you got pencil and paper, you may want to write these down, but they're not hard to remember. The first name is the name Ahaz. Ahaz, at the time, happened to be king of Judah, again, the southern kingdom. And Pekah, P-E-K-A-H, was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And then there's a third character that enters the picture at this time, and his name was Rezin, and he happened to be king of Syria, who was north of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Syria, and at that moment in time, happened to be an ally to Israel, the northern kingdom. So, what I'm simply saying is that Pekah and Rezin and their two kingdoms had decided to invade Judah, the southern kingdom, of which Ahaz was the king, and so with that mount of force at his borders, he was scared. And in comes another character, a prophet. His name is Isaiah. He enters into the story because God tells Isaiah to go to King Ahaz, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Judah, and basically tell him this, and these are my words. Don't worry. I have everything under control. I got your back, in other words, we would say today. Everything is in my sovereign rule, and if you don't believe me, ask me for a sign, and I'll show you that I'm with you. And I'll give you whatever sign it is that you ask. In other words, God's saying, listen, I don't need you to worry. If you want me to prove that I'm sovereign, if you want me to prove that I'm God, you want me to prove that I'm all-powerful and strong, just ask me, and I'll prove it to you. Unfortunately, King Ahaz was a weak unbeliever, even though he was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. So he rejected God's offer for a sign. God got a little angry with him, and he really came back with something like this. That's okay, that's fine, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a sign anyway. Now, I told you all of this background because I want you to hear what the sign is that God wants to tell King Ahaz. So if you have a Bible on the back of the pew or one in your lap, pick it up. Turn with me to the prophet or the book of Isaiah. And we're looking in the 7th chapter at just one verse at the moment, verse 14. It reads like this, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, as I read that, I think you're going to have to admit what I think, and that is a very interesting and a very strange sign to give a king who is about to be attacked by overwhelming forces. The sign is simply this. A young virgin is going to give birth to a baby boy. Now, you might be drifting off at this particular moment in my sermon saying that you're not a history buff. But if you do, you're going to miss the significance of what I just said. Isaiah 7:14, the secret to understanding the sign is the name of the boy. This virgin is going to conceive a bear a son and shall call his name, Emmanuel. The significance is in the boy's name. For Emmanuel means God with us. God is going to come down, and God is going to be with you, King Ahaz, to the people of Jerusalem, to the people of Judah, to the people of the world. The sign is that a child is going to be born, and that means that I am going to be there. You want to know how strong I am? You want to know how committed I am to protect you, to be concerned about the preservation of my people? I'm coming down to be with you. That's fascinating. But what I think even is stranger is take that Bible and go all the way back to the very beginning. Go back to the book of Genesis and the first few chapters. And there you can read, particularly in the second and third chapters of Genesis, the fact that God walks and talks with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine what that relationship would be? That literally you could walk around with God there talking to you and being with you. But the problem was that man rebelled against God. He rejected what God asked him to do to rule over him. And God removed him from his presence, cast him out of the Garden of Eden. But before you leave that story, there is a promise when that happens. The promise was that through a child of a woman, war would take place between good and evil. And that child would win that war. As you read it, and particularly it says concerning Satan, the serpent, that it would bruise his head. That child would be victorious in the battle between good and evil. So when we come to the birth of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today and tomorrow, we look at the first chapter of the book of Matthew. Turn over there with me if you would. And there we read of a promise again. Keep in mind, this is 700 years before the words by Isaiah went to King Ahaz. And I have no idea how many countless thousands of years it was before what we read about the promise in Genesis. Here in Matthew in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we read it, the description of the birth of Jesus Christ. And it goes like this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. When Jesus Christ was born, Matthew, the writer here, is in a sense saying, this is it. This is the child. This is the boy that will actually be God coming down to this earth to be with us again. The reason we make such a big deal about this child is because this child that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago in a little place called Bethlehem is literally God with us. This is the God who desired to be with his people here on the earth in the flesh. Turn over to the book of John, that gospel, again in the first chapter. Just look at one verse, verse 14, John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is God with us. His Son came down from heaven to this earth to be with his people. And that's a big deal, worthy of our celebration. The birth of Christ. What child is this? This child is God with us. But more than just God being with us, there's a second thought. And that is, Jesus is God for us. I don't want to bog you down on all the history, but I do want you to come on Sunday nights as we go through all of this in great detail. You'll learn a lot. But go back with me to that story of King Ahaz and the story of Isaiah and what God was telling him. As I go back to the book of Isaiah and I begin to read through the first number of chapters here, particularly as I get into chapter 7 and 8 of Isaiah, it's apparent that God's not real happy with folks down here. We're disobedient. Much destruction is occurring to the children of God. But as I get over to chapter 9 of Isaiah, I have a promise again. And it's a great promise that even during the time of all of this darkness that they are experiencing at the moment, there will be a great light. If you're with me, I'm in Isaiah chapter 9. I want to pick up in a few verses beginning in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadows of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. I look out here, I see you. You're like me, scratching your head, saying, I have no idea what you just read, Ron. What are you trying to tell me? What is God trying to tell us? Let me see if I can paint the picture. In Isaiah chapter 7, King Ahaz is scared to death because people are coming and they're invading Judah and Jerusalem. And he doesn't believe in God that much, and God gives him a sign. We just read that. The sign that a child will be born and that his name will be Emmanuel, and it means that God is with him, God is with us. Now we get over to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And it's a time of darkness. And God promises them that a light will come. And the one who brings this light is going to put an end to the war, to the oppression, to the darkness. The picture of here, particularly as you read that last verse that we read, every warrior's sandal and all of that. What he's really saying is that all the battle implements, all of the battle clothing, everything that has blood on it, is all going to be gathered up and it's all going to be burned as fire because the war is going to be over. It'll be no more. That's the promise that God is giving his people in the midst of this invasion from foreign enemies. Now he explains who will bring that light. How that will happen. Look with me in the next verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The answer to Ahaz's problems, the answer to Jerusalem's problems, the answer to our problems, to anyone's problem, is a child will be born. What child is this? This child that was born over 2,000 years ago in that little town called Bethlehem is not only Emmanuel, God with us, but the Bible tells us it is also God for us. The light of hope came in that little child. Notice the names. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What's all that mean? Wonderful, to them that word probably meant supernatural. Here is going to be a baby that would bring supernatural counselor, full of wisdom from not earth but from above. This man will be God himself, a mighty warrior, who's going to defend us and is going to make war against Satan for us. And the song we sang declared him as king. Yes, he's going to be king of kings. But what we read here is that he is going to have compassion. compassion and care like a father. That's how he rules. An everlasting father. And finally, he will be the Prince of Peace. The Prince who brings peace. Look at the next verse, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So who is this little child? What is this child? He's God with us, and he's God for us. This child would grow to live a life of perfection, obedience, and ultimately he will pay the penalty to save his people from their sin. Why he's called Jesus? He's our Savior. This child is both God himself, and he was man. But he didn't just come down to walk around and to talk with us. He came to counsel us with his wisdom. He came to protect us with his strength. He came to have compassion and care because we are his family. He came to save us from that devil that we read about in the scriptures that seeketh whom he may devour. Turn with me to this beautiful story we celebrate. And we always read it from the book of Luke in the second chapter. Find it if you would. I'm going to pick up beginning in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Luke. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I read all of this, say all of this, preach all of this morning to simply ask the question, where are you today? You a follower of Christ who finds yourself in darkness just as Jerusalem and Judah did? During this Christmas time, maybe there is no joy because of something that you've experienced. Maybe a diagnosis, maybe a problem with a loved one. There's darkness over your life. The good tidings, the good news, is that this baby is a sign to you that he is God with you. He is God for you. Maybe you're here and you're a follower of Christ in darkness because of the sins of other people. Maybe somebody sinned against you. Maybe they've done something to you. You've experienced a time of darkness because you've been cheated out of something. Maybe in business or a relationship or a marriage or in life. And the good tidings, the good news to you. So this baby is a sign. God came to be with us and for us. He's the light that shines and dispels the darkness. And you can put your hope and your trust in him regardless of the situation that you might find yourself in today. Maybe you're here, maybe you are a follower of Christ, but maybe you're in darkness because of your own sins. Maybe you've done certain things. You made certain choices, and the result of those choices is that there's a cloud of darkness over your life, over this season, over you and perhaps over your family. And the good tidings, my friends, the good news that these shepherds and the angels were proclaiming is that Jesus is the sign. He is God with us and He is God for us. He went to the cross. We talked about that when we came to the communion. He came here that He might not only protect us and defend us, but save us by winning that battle of good over evil. You see, the bottom line is simply this. Jesus is God with us and God for us. So whatever darkness you experience, for whatever reason it may be, Jesus is the light. Maybe there's someone here that's not a follower of Christ. Maybe you're kind of like King Ahaz. I don't know. I don't necessarily believe he's sovereign and capable of defending and protecting and getting us out of a difficult spot. So he rejected the child. Maybe you do. Maybe you reject him as king, as we say. As King Ahaz obviously did. I say this to you, Jesus is your hope. Without Jesus, there can be no eternal life. But he can bring you out of that darkness. He can forgive those sins we have. He can give us an opportunity not only to walk with Jesus here, but to walk with Jesus there, in the presence of our Heavenly Father. What child is this? My friends, we make a big deal about this child because the child is the sign. Child is the promise. It's been from the very beginning of the book of Genesis. It is to the very end of the book of Revelation. Jesus says, I am here for you and to be with you. He asks you to come through faith, through repentance of your sin, through your willingness to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the sign, the promise that the Father gave to all mankind, to be baptized, immersed, to wash away your sins, and then to rise and walk as a new creature in Christ. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to continue to sin. My friends, we can't walk alone or we walk in darkness. This morning, what better day than on Christmas Eve to give your life to Christ? Jeff is going to lead us in an invitation hymn. Time of decision for all of us. Come if you will, as we stand and sing.